Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order of our Reedley City Council. We had met already in closed session on a couple of items, and I'd like our city attorney to report out on those items, please.
Yeah, the council met on items number one and two on tonight's agenda, and no action was taken requiring a report. Direction was given to staff and council.
Thank you. Our invocation this evening will be done by Pastor Neil Harris of the First United Methodist Church, and I've asked Councilman Bob Beck to do our Pledge of Allegiance this evening. Would you all please rise with me?
Let us pray. Dear God, as we are in this Thanksgiving season, we have much to be thankful for. We have give you thanks for the 100 years that we have been in a city. We thank you for all the people who have lived here and have prospered here. We thank you for the blessings of the harvest and of the fruit and of this great land. We thank you for the greatness of its people. And we give you thanks for all the other blessings that you have blessed us over all these years. Lord, we pray that not only are we thankful, but that we are giving. In this holiday season, Lord, we pray that we would be giving to those who need it the most, that we would be grateful and generous. Lord, we pray for wisdom for your city council, for the people of this city, that we might be ruled wisely and well. Lord, we ask that your presence be even greater with me, that you would anoint your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join the Reedley City Council and pledge to our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Good evening, Georgia. Would you please state your name and address for our record?
Georgia Linshai, P.O. Box 1865, Reedley. CMAX is at it again, wanting to mine Jesse Moore Mountain. There was a rehearing a week ago, and the Board of Supervisors agenda has this big old deleted on what CMAX had time to talk about, because they said they didn't have time to get it ready. So they want another rehearing. And that is, Mr. Perea said, we've got to get this thing settled this year before the new people come in, the new person comes in. And he says, we've got to have it this year. So it's scheduled now for the 11th of December. And I don't know where it will be, and I don't know what time it'll be coming up, but if it's in the ballroom, we'd like to have a lot of people there just to show up and show support for the opposition of the mine on Jesse Moore Mountain. I'll keep you informed.
Okay, thank you.
Don, good evening, Council. Don Barcellas. I just came to give you a short little informational. In front of you, Sylvia had given you a packet which is for our holiday events for the Downtown Association. Mm-hmm. We'd just like to invite the council members out to be introduced at the lighting of the at the parade. I know a lot of times a few of you will come out. If you could let Secretary Sylvia know, she'd be happy to get that information where it needs to be, and we'll introduce you at that time. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Don, could you tell us where it's going to be starting?
Pardon me?
The parade
will
start.
The parade will start. Where?
The parade's going to start right down here at the high school like it always does.
Right.
It'll start there, and then they'll do the announcing down by the tree.
Okay, great.
So you guys could coordinate that between Sylvia and Barbie, and they'd take care of that for you and get any information you want out there.
Okay? There's questions asked about where it was going to start. Okay.
Right here.
Thank
east.
You.
Uh-huh. Hi, David.
Hello. David Reimer, 1396 West Sequoia Circle here in Reedley. Crime is a concern to all of us. A crime that has become common in the last several years is home invasions. I understand that these home invasions take place typically during the day, and they involve vaulting over a back fence. That's a particular concern for those of us with alleys. Now, many of us have animals in our backyard, and they serve as deterrents to crime. A dog is a good deterrent. It barks, and it intimidates people that are not welcome on the property. Currently, there is an element of our code which causes this to be citable, for a dog to be constantly barking. I think it would be wise for us to consider revising the code in light of the fact that we have home invasions during the day. I don't think that it should be citable for a dog to be barking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when there are people in the alley that don't belong there. Mm-hmm. Just something I think we should consider.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm here tonight to represent my new employer. I now work for First Five Fresno County. As many of you know, I've worked a lot of years in our community here with kids. Well, now I get paid to give money to kids. So we have a program that is done every year, and we're looking for nominations. And we have a program called Hands-On Heroes. And we're looking for people, and I just emailed Sylvia before I left my office the information about the program. And what it is we're looking for people that you know that do a great job with kids and programs, and it can be anything from someone working in a daycare, or parents that do exceptional things for their kids and other kids, or there's three different categories. Mm-hmm. And it's health, it's family strengthening, and then it's community support. And the deadline for the nominations is December the 10th, and we're looking for nominations out in the rural communities. They haven't really pushed this very much out in the rural communities. It's been more inside Fresno. And of course, now that I'm there, I'm telling them we need to support the rural communities. And so they've asked me to take this message here and to Selma and to Fowler and other parts of the eastern part of Fresno County, and I'm going to do that. So Sylvia will have that information. I'm going to leave her some of my business cards, and if you have questions, you can email me and let me know if you have any questions, and we can get you all the information you need about it. But it's a really good thing, because NKC24 does a real nice story about the people who win these awards. There's a real nice reception for the award winners, and they're given these awards, and it's just a really good thing to motivate people to help kids. Also, I wanted to talk to you about the fact that we are a funding mechanism. Nicole knows a lot, I think, about First Five Fresno County. She tried to help First Five Fresno County find a building site in downtown Fresno, which we have purchased a plot of land from the city of Fresno, and we will be building what we are calling the Lighthouse for Children, a three-story, 38,000 square foot facility that will have a daycare center, early learning center, health assessment center, and I'm working real hard to try and tie in other people like WIC and a few other organizations to come be in that building with us. But I just wanted to remind the city of Reedley, because I looked through some history, my job there is I'm in charge of contracts and procurement, and so I get to write all the contracts, and I get to do the final awards of contracts to programs and businesses and individuals and cities for programs for kids 0 to 5 and their families. Our organization has given to date, since it started in 2001, $1.2 million to Kings Canyon Unified School District over that time period. And I then took a look and saw that Sarah has applied for some small mini grants over the years, some as little as $1,500 and some as much as $10,000, which First Five Fresno County gave dollars to help renovate the preschool here at the community center. I just want to let you know that our new funding round is coming open January the 14th. And I will make sure that the city of Reedley and Kings Canyon is on the list to get all the information, because I will be sending out all the RFAs, RFQs, RFPs for all the funding that we have. This year we have approximately $8.7 million to fund, and we're looking for two-year commitments on the larger grants. And on the smaller grants, we do anything from $2,000 to $50,000. So just something for you to think about as you look at the programs at the community center for the kids, or any of the faith-based organizations that you know that are doing work with kids 0 to 5 and their families. And just keep that in mind when you say that, kids 0 to 5 and their families. So, you know, it's not just for the kids themselves, but if there's programs for the families. You know, Ray's heard me say this, we've got babies having babies, and we've got to teach them how to raise these babies. And so if there's good programs in the community that are doing that, Christian Youth Ministries, we do a lot of good things with. I think in what I've looked at, we've given them close to $30,000 or $40,000 over that time period. So just some good information.
Right.
Love to be, you know, involved with our community. And now, you know, we have an avenue where we have a direct connection where to some dollars, and I just want to make sure our city takes advantage of those dollars.
Great. All right.
Thank you, Steve. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any councilman like to remove an item from our consent agenda?
Item number 9, please.
Okay. Anyone else? Would anyone in the public like to remove an item from our consent agenda or make a comment regarding any of these items? Seeing none, what is the council's
pleasure?
I'll make
a motion to approve the remaining consent agenda items.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item 9 is to authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute a pipeline development agreement with Alta Irrigation District for the City of Reedley's Buttonwillow Ditch Undergrounding Project from Curtis Avenue to Huntsman Avenue. City manager?
Well, the reason I pulled this one in and like to talk to the engineer is that years ago, council looked at this to put this in underground, and we talked about trying to put a extension of the rails of trails along Buttonwillow North to Parter Avenue. And this is something that was planned years ago. So there was kind of a bike and jogging trail, and want to know if it's still in line.
Yes, good evening, first of all, Mayor and City Council members. Noe Martinez, City Engineer. And to answer your question, Councilman Solano, yes, that is still part of the project. As a matter of fact, we still have a grant for a little over $100,000 to build that portion of the Parkway Trail, starting at the end point of the Parkway at Huntsman, going all the way north to Dinuba, connecting at the roundabout.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
And I had a question, too, on this item. I was wondering, there was a blank in the dollar amount for the estimated cost of how much this project's going to be. Can you share that with me or give me a good guess?
That is an estimate we're going to be getting from the district themselves. It's for the pipeline construction portion of the project. And we have not seen any at this point from them as far as preliminary estimates, but I'm estimating right now around $300,000 to $400,000.
Yeah, if I remember, I think we talked about this a couple of years ago. I think it was about $450,000. And I'd like to ask the city manager on the use of those funds, how that's going to transpire to put that in an escrow account.
My pleasure, Mayor, members of council. The reason that this agreement is going forward does have to do with the fact that in order to do that extension of rails trails, we need to underground this ditch, and there's various safety reasons as well. One of the things that we have been going back and forth with Alta Irrigation over is the fact that they require money to be upfronted in an escrow account, essentially, so that if for some reason we don't complete the project, they have money to complete the project. Because once this project starts, they need it to be finished, obviously, for their purposes. We don't have concern with that because we do have grant funds. So it's really just more of a cash flow issue for us in terms of the cash we need to upfront into the escrow account. We have various ways that we can do that. A lot is going to depend upon how much they wish for us to put in the escrow account. One of the things that we're looking at right now, for instance, is to take money out of our development impact fees and put that into an escrow account, because that will then be paid back to the DIF funds, so it won't be used. So we do have a couple of different options we're going to be pursuing. We would have preferred to bring this agreement to you signed, sealed, and delivered, ready to go with no blanks, but the timing is such that Caltrans is requiring we submit invoices on this or we will lose that grant money. There is already a possibility that we could lose the grant money, so we need to be able to go at a moment's notice, and we couldn't wait to bring this to you in December. We had to get authorization to move it forward right away. So
thank you. Any other questions from the council on this item?
Move to authorize item number 9.
Any questions from the public on this item? Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Mayor Fass?
Yes. The next item is a public hearing, is item number 10, to adopt resolution number 2012-091, adopting the 2008 to 2015 housing element, the general plan amendment number 2012-01, and certify the environmental assessment number 2012-017.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Kevin Fabino, Community Development Director. And this evening before you is the general plan amendment that you've just noticed, as well as the related environmental analysis. The housing element before you this evening is really there with the idea that it identifies community housing needs. It is there for us to use to identify opportunities for production, rehabilitation, and conservation opportunities related to policies and programs in our community to make sure that all of the folks in our communities have adequate opportunity to a variety of housing. That being said, the housing element is based on a tenet that really suggests that the land uses and regulatory systems within our city are developed in a way that provide an opportunity for all housing opportunity, as well as not constraining in any way housing development. The state does require every city to have a housing element. The state sets forth a variety of statutory requirements that tell the cities what must be contained within that housing element. And of course, the State Department of Housing and Community Development reviews for compliance and will eventually certify our housing element should you decide to approve this later this evening. The HCD, in managing all of the state's cities' housing elements, puts together what are called cycles. So, for example, you will see in the way that this element was constructed, it starts out with the cycle of 2002 to 2007, and then we are now in the 2008 to 2015, and we are about to enter into the next cycle. Which kind of might beg the question, why, if we're talking about cycles of housing elements, are we talking about a general plan application, which is really the process and that's before you tonight? And that is because the housing element is considered to be one of the state mandated elements within our general plan. So should you approve this general plan amendment this evening, then this document will be appended to the general plan. The Reedley housing element in and of itself was prepared pursuant to state code. The document is constructed, again, as I just made mention, starts with a review of the previous cycle, which was 2002 to 2007. It will talk at length about the housing needs. That's done through statistical analysis, trends analysis, evaluating a variety of social demographics, housing, population, ethnicity, educational training, major employers. All of that is then used to develop what are called the four housing element groups. There's very low, there's low, there's moderate, and there's above moderate, or what we would commonly call market rate housing. Once those numbers are generated, then, as in this document, there's another section that talks about the site evaluation. So our consultant and Darlene, who did a wonderful job, I will add, went through and identified a variety of sites throughout our city. We evaluated those sites on capacity and capability to be developed, again, without constraints, such that the development of those sites would accommodate what are really called the RENA numbers. And those are regional housing needs assessment. The last part of the plan that is before you this evening talks about the work plan or the policies that in the cycle the city will engage in to assure that we can achieve our RENA numbers. This particular plan at the end of the 2002 to 2007 plan suggests that approximately 1,300 units were needed. At the end of the cycle, when you get to the very back, which would be in 2008, it still reflects that there's a need of approximately 1,300 units as well. The document before you is considered a project under CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act. We did an analysis, an initial study, and the outcome of that initial study pointed us in the direction of doing what is referred to as a negative declaration. That document is also before you this evening. Next steps. Let's for a second presume that you find this document worthy. What do we do next? If you should approve this document, then we will be shipping it off to HCD for what is called certification. We have already developed a relationship with HCD. We sent the document up after it was approved by the Planning Commission and asked them to begin a informal review process. We should be getting those comments back from them probably within the next week or two. We would then take those comments. We would look and evaluate what those comments are, and then make the appropriate modifications to the document and resubmit under a formal review process. That process could be two or three cycles, if you will. We will make some modifications, send it back, make some modifications, send it back with the goal of getting through certification as quickly as possible. I would like the council to know that it is staff's belief that the document before you does meet all the statutory requirements under California law. We do know that there are some modifications, as I've just mentioned, will be necessary to make changes within the document. But let me give you a sense of comfort as to what that really is. And so one of the policies in this document talks about what are called density bonuses. State law requires or has a provision that would allow density bonuses to be put in place. Our policy states that we will engage in what is called density bonuses, but we don't cite the actual California law. Those are the kinds of modifications that we're talking about. Insignificant. Conceptually, we're doing what we're supposed to do, and they probably are just going to want a little bit more detail or some format kinds of changes. But we do want you to rest assured that we do believe that this statutorily does meet the requirements of the law. We also think that should any major changes occur that we've not anticipated, and I'm not anticipating any unanticipated issues coming up, that we would certainly be bringing it back to council. So we want to give you a good sense of comfort with that. I would end with a couple comments, and that being that there are, after certification, we then would be initiating another whole process because we're about to enter into another cycle, which takes us through what would be about the year 2019. So this is about a five-year cycle. Every 5 years, we're going to go through this whole process again. You will note in the document itself, most of the statistics are dated. And the reason I bring that to you is because HCD has just begun a streamlining process, and so the process will be much quicker for us to move through once we get this certified, and it will require primarily updating of all of our statistical information that's throughout the document. So it should be a relatively easy process, not costing us too much in terms of time and or other kinds of resources to kind of get us up to speed as quickly as possible, and if you will, in the right cycle. That being said, staff does recommend that you approve the negative declaration dated October 10th, prepared for the housing element. And we're also recommending you approve the general plan amendment number 2012-001. It is the housing element, and it does append the element to the general plan. That concludes staff's report, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Dated, and it is dated.
It is, sir.
I know the figures on a lot of the pages are salaries people earned 2007, 2008. I think with this economy, I think those are even going to be lower nowadays, you know, with what people are earning. So, and I don't know how that's going to all factor in. I would imagine it's going to have a huge impact on what you guys are putting together.
Exactly. You are exactly right. These are dated. So if you were making reference to page 3-9, which talks about the annual wages, those annual wages are what equates to the AMI. And the AMI is what we use to then determine where a classification is, whether it be very low, moderate, or market rate, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So what that, if it drops, is we would at least intellectually contemplate, because of the marketplace, that would put a higher burden on us in terms of developing that very low housing opportunities for that very low target population.
Mr. Fabino, I know that the housing element is one of seven of the general plan.
Correct.
And once you amend one of them, you have to review the others. According to what I read, it is you have to review the other ones so that I don't know if they fall in place with your amendment?
So where we're at today is this document is really a couple things. One, it's a cycle back, meaning it covers a year through 2008 to now. So again, it's really based on the general plan that we have in place today. As you know, we're working on the general plan update. As soon as that then comes about, it will be in tandem with the next cycle. So we're trying to get everything to mesh up. Is there kind of a imbalance between documents? Yes, we've got a very old general plan that we're working really hard to get updated. We think we'll be before you very shortly. We know we'll be before you shortly with an update as well as where we're at, and we've made great progress on that document as well. So our goal is to get them in sync.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other council that have any comments? I just have a general comment. I found interesting on Chapter 6, you talked about the goals of the programs and the five-year action plan. And on the second page of that is a table that tells about the total units that you described, the 1,350, and has the different groups for as far as the income level goes. But then my interest was in the second section, table 6.2, talked about the special needs groups. And I saw the elderly 65 and above was 341 units were going to be required of the 1,350. And that's almost 30% just for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next largest unit was a large family unit, which was 253. So I think you're right on target with that. I think you're seeing this city, people are growing older and there's going to be more demand for the elderly. And David, you're in the right place tonight to hear that. And that might be an avenue for Palm Village to work with.
I'd like
to
see the report of
that. With our developing of that to see if there might be some funding available to work together to help to make that happen. Any other comments from the council?
Well, the only other thing is the physical impact. It says that no additional cost. Is that right?
Correct. At this point, there is no additional cost to the city.
All right. That sounds good.
This is a public hearing. Is there any public comment on the item number 10, the housing element in general or the environmental assessment that was done?
I don't think I did this last time. Steve Rapata, 1990 East Washington, Reedley. On the document itself, in there is a map showing the residential zoning and different zonings in there. And I just wanted to get a clarification. That map where it shows whether it's in R16 or R112, whatever it is, it doesn't coincide with the general zoning map that the city of Reedley has, because it shows low, medium, or high density residential in areas that on the actual city zoning map shows as commercial. And so I'm a little confused over that. Does this map in this document only take into account where housing could be built, and then if it's showing those areas, is that telling us that conditional use permits or change of zones could be done to build that housing in those areas where commercial is shown on the city zoning map? And I'm just asking for a clarification on that.
That's actually a wonderful question, and I do appreciate it. It's a wee bit of a complex response or question in that we do have a general plan. It does show where housing, generally speaking, where the housing can be developed. It also shows, generally speaking, where commercial can be developed, and then it also shows where industrial. So the interesting part about our city is that not only do you have single, multiple family zone districts that correspond to the colors, yellow generally speaking. We have a number of commercial, like the professional office district, that allows multiple family to go into as well. So just because it may be a commercial district does not preclude, in many respects, housing to be developed. A good example would be right downtown. If you wanted to put lofts or mixed use, as we typically refer to it, it's certainly possible and doable. You will find in the city that there are a number of existing homes. Some are existing multiple family complexes that were actually here in the city developed long before either the zoning ordinance took place or the particular property was had the planned land use that it does today. So, you know, I think we just have to look at it as a case-by-case basis. There's a variety of ways that housing can be developed in the city, and it's not limited to just simply the yellow. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
Well, I'm impressed with the zoning book here.
Oh, yeah,
that was a nice... an awful lot of information. I had an individual today ask me about a certain piece of property, and I turned to the page and let him look, and he was happy with it. So it gives him an idea of what he wants to do in that area. Good, thank you.
So, Council, before you vote upon this, if I can have 1 minute, I would like to just thank Kevin Fabino for this.
Yes.
He has been kind and very diplomatic in the way that he presented this to you. I think it's evident by the fact that we are approving a 2008 to 2015 document in 2012, that this document has been long overdue. It has fallen in what I call the really lost years, where we got not a whole lot done that needed to be done. He came in and within, you've been here 2 months, and I would say with the help of Darlene, she was definitely pulling her weight in this one. They got this document done because this is a vital piece of planning work that is in state law that has to be done. And so after a year of pulling teeth to get something done, within 2 months of Kevin coming on board, we see a document here. This is fantastic, and I'm very pleased to tell you that the next one coming before you in a short period of time is going to be the general plan, which has a date sort of like this on it. It's already behind, and we already have to start the next update. So I just want to point out how fabulous it has been to bring in a true professional that understands the importance of this document, could get it done, actually signed, sealed, and delivered. Mm-hmm. So my thanks to Kevin and the hard work of the team on that one.
Thank you.
There's a lot of information, a lot of good information in mm-hmm. here, and like some of the statistics are older, but it still gives you a good feel for what Reedley is and where we're kind of looking forward. Is there any other public comment? This is a public hearing this evening. Any other public comment on this document or any questions?
I just want to maybe build upon on what the city manager just said. You know, this document was before this council a long time ago, and we were given a deadline date that it was going to be completed, and that was several years ago. So I appreciate the fact that it's getting done now. It wasn't before. And I would just say, I thank you gentlemen for working hard and Darlene, because our general plan update should have been done 3.5 years ago, and it has bogged down, unfortunately, this city's ability, you know, to go after that number one goal of economic development. And so anything you can do to get that done just as quickly as you did this would be greatly appreciated by this community. So I want to thank them for a good job also.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. What is the council's pleasure? This item. We have two actual items that we can do together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just or the resolution, adoption of the resolution will cover both items.
Right. Okay.
I've been here for those 3.5 years, so I'll make the motion to
push
this thing along.
Is this there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Councilman. Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Administrative business.
Item number 11A, to authorize the city manager to enter into agreement with the Reedley Center, Inc., providing $25,000 from the general fund for previously approved facade improvements to Save Mart in the Reedley Shopping Center. Do we want to do these separately or together?
Together, please.
Okay. Item B, to adopt resolution number 2012-092, amending the 2012-13 adopted budget, providing $25,000 from the general fund for previously approved facade improvements to Save Mart in the Reedley Shopping Center. City Manager?
Yes, Mayor, members of council, we have a very unusual item in front of you tonight. Had the redevelopment agency not been dissolved by the state, this item would not be in front of you tonight. Several years ago, this council, under the auspices of the RDA board, approved a grant for $100,000, a facade grant, to Reedley Shopping Center that was to be paid for with RDA funds. When the dissolution of the RDA came about, the state asked us to pull together all of the enforceable obligations, and enforceable obligations is in quotes there, and they had a specific things that defined enforceable obligations. Anything that was not an enforceable obligation, the money was swept away by the state, as you know. The facade grants that we had done with many of these agencies, like the Town and Country Shopping Center, Newton and Sons, etc., were already underway. The money had been paid out. Things had already been happening, and the money wasn't there for the state to sweep away. This particular item, however, fell into a bit of a gap. The staff that had brought this forward to the RDA board at the time believed that the simple act of the RDA board approving this grant turned that into an enforceable obligation, or rather was a contract of sorts. In fact, they never went forward and did a full contract with the Reedley Shopping Center for this money, for this facade grant. When the state came in to review our enforceable obligations, because we don't have an existing agreement that's been signed by both parties, they swept the funds away. So we had paid out $50,000 to Reedley Shopping Center, and as you know, they've been working on their facade improvements. They've redone a lot in that shopping center, and it looks a whole lot better than it did even just a year ago. But $50,000 is still expected to be coming from the city, or rather from the RDA, to Reedley Shopping Center. As soon as the funds were swept away, we sent a letter to Reedley Shopping Center, and they are their property management gentleman by the name of Roger Brunell, who I believe you all know. I did send a letter to him mentioning that phase 3 and 4, those are $25,000 each of those phases, would have to be covered by the shopping center because the city no longer had the funds. They'd been swept by the state. Roger returned to me with multiple emails from past city managers. Those emails had assured him that the money was set aside, and the reason that he wanted those emails from the city managers at the time was because they were about to spend a whole lot of money to plan all of the improvements and to get the improvements underway and to share with the tenants who were basing future leases on some of these improvements. So they would stay and sign leases if certain improvements would happen. So he got back to my letter with a pretty heated letter, very upset that after multiple assurances from the city that money existed, we were now saying the money did not exist. We did attempt to fight this one at the state level with the Department of Finance, showing them that the RDA board did approve the $100,000, therefore we believe it to be an enforceable obligation. They have flatly denied that. So they will not allow us the RDA monies to pay the remaining $50,000. This is a very unusual item, like I said, and this is one where there's even some disagreement amongst staff as to whether or not or how we should approach this and do this particular item. It's my belief that because we made a commitment to Reedley Shopping Center and they attempted to get firm assurances from us that the money existed, and it was poor staff work, frankly, that caused that money to not be available to them, I do believe we have an obligation to try to make that up somehow. The only funding source we have available to do this through is the general fund. So what you have before you today is a budget amendment and authorization to provide $25,000 of the $50,000 to Reedley Shopping Center to cover some more facade improvements. We do have some interesting elements coming up at the Reilly Shopping Center. The Save Mart lease is about to expire. They're trying to get Save Mart to re-sign, so there are some intricacies here that make this a little bit more complex of an issue. Truly, I wish the RDA funds existed. I don't like spending general fund dollars on facade. General fund dollars goes to pay our hardworking firefighters, our policemen, keep crime down. They're vital funds because it can be used in so many different ways. However, I believe we do have an obligation in this case because it was our errors, multiple errors, that caused Reilly Shopping Center to be without the money that we had committed to them. So what you have before you today is that budget amendment, et cetera, and we would like to have some policy discussion on council's wish as to whether or not they would like to provide the $25,000 to Reilly Shopping Center for the facade money.
I believe we're obligated to do that. Okay. Shopping, Save Mart at one time, we're talking about Walmart. They had sent a letter to the city saying, if Walmart comes in, we are going to pull out, just like other cities. Walmart didn't come in, Save Mart stayed. And Save Mart has been a big asset to the city of Reilly. So I don't think we need to back off on this and just help them out, because they've done quite an improvement of what it was before the facade took place.
Any other comments?
Yeah, Scott, those emails, would that constitute a contract?
There's nothing legally binding with the emails from the previous city managers, and that's in effect what the state did when they did the RDA dissolution thing. They basically said they defined what an enforceable obligation was, and it's a binding contract approved by council. And so for these third and fourth installments of this facade improvement grant, there hadn't been contracts yet signed between the city and the developer there, even though we had council or RDA board approval of those, which in and of itself is an approval. Ultimately, there needed to be contracts signed. There were contracts signed and executed for the first two phases as those came up, but phases three and four were a little bit down the road, so contracts weren't done. So in the legal sense, it's not binding, but I think the consideration tonight is, is the city gonna get a benefit out of this? There's a public purpose still to spending these the monies, even if it's general fund as opposed to RDA. There's still a public purpose, so it's still a legal use of the funds. So
any other comments from the council on this issue? Comments from the public on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
Move to approve.
There a second?
Second.
2 seconds.
The tie.
Call for the question.
I'm sorry. Before we call for the question, may I have a clarification if that second and or the first and the second cover both A and B?
Yes.
Thank you.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 12 is a Traffic Safety Commission report, and we're just receiving this as informational item, and no action is needed on that item. Item 13 is council reports. And I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt. Okay. We came to that quickly this evening,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes. I just wanted to share, I went to, we weren't invited to the luncheon because we got invited to the open house, but there was a luncheon, it was in the news, and it's a new program that they, a center that they opened up for at Pacific College, and it's called the Center for Community Transformation. and it's on helping communities, and the chief went with us, and we met several people there, and I think it's going to be something that's going to be very wonderful, and I think we're going to have them come and visit our city. But I just bought a pamphlet so you can share it and see what it is. But anyway, I'm excited about that. And then we went to the workshop that the first workshop that they sponsored was Father Boyle, and he's a Jesuit priest who works with homeboys. Mm-hmm. And have you heard of him? He works in East LA, and he's got the biggest industry for former gang members in East LA. And it's amazing what he's done with these kids. And he came and spoke to us. And I've heard him several times, so, but it was nice just to hear him again. But he came to Fresno and made a presentation at this center for the first, he was one of their first speakers. So, and that alone told me a lot too, because he had a lot of good information to give us that night. And then I went to the CYM, had their open house, 20-year open house, and it was really nice. They had a lot of former girls that they had helped during the years. They came back with their kids. It just was a really nice open house. It was a really good evening. And then went to a neighborhood watch meeting that we had here with Mr. Garza, did a really good presentation on all the neighborhood captains, and so I'm so glad that's moving, keeping moving, keep it, have to keep moving it. And so anyway, so that was it. That's it.
Councilman Beck?
I also attended the neighborhood watch. You had left just before I got here, which I always enjoyed those, because I'm trying to get the neighborhood watch started in my district, and it's starting to come along a little bit. So, and again, it was a great presentation. Also, would like to commend Russ and his crew for the water leak work they did down here. I was out that night and went down and stopped by. Guys were working late in the night. They put a lot of hard time in there. They did a great job down there, Russ. Also attended the Christmas tree lighting Saturday, along with the mayor, and had a good time down there. It was a nice program. So that's all I have.
Okay. Councilman Chavez.
Well, I had this big spill, but I was told that I got one more meeting to go. So I guess I'll be here next meeting. I have nothing, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Soleno?
Well, didn't get a chance to go to the tree lighting because I babysat and let the rest of the family go, and they really enjoyed it. And that was great. Also enjoyed Chief presentation on Neighborhood Watch. There was some positive information and suggestions that took place that night. And I think it's going to be very helpful, not only for existing Neighborhood Watch programs that are very active, but also for the new ones that are going to start. So looking forward to that. This one here, I would like to direct it to Mr. Robinson. I guess the Parks Commission is under your direction?
Sure. That would be Joel. Joel Glick.
Joel Glick, okay. All right. And I'll excuse you. You know, there was complaints about the Camacho Park. Little League pays quite a bit of money, you know, to take care of that field. And supposedly they paid anywhere from $11,000 to $12,000 out of their pocket in the last year or two to keep that facility going. If you go out there now and take a look at it, the weeds are all over. It looks really bad. And if once they start, they're going to have to do an awful lot of work to bring it back to where they had it. And I think the city has a responsibility in the off season to take care of that park. And I would like to do something for the city to do, take care of it before Little League takes over. And then once Little League takes over, then they're responsible to maintain it. But right now, if you go out there, weeds are so high. You look at the backstop, it's embarrassing. I'm sorry to say, but it's embarrassing.
We will take a look at that, right? Mr. Soleno.
I will appreciate it. Thank you very much. And once you once you take a look at it and do some work on it, can you contact me again so I can go and look at it? All right. Then I can contact the officials from Little League. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I attended the Emmanuel High School Eventide event. That was a big fundraiser that they do every year. A lot of the monies raised that evening are used to provide scholarships to students to attend school there. So it's a pretty important event. Also attended the 7-Eleven opening. I know that was a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't get a chance to put together my report last time. So. Also attended the COG, the Council of Governments meeting on the 15th, and there was a report at the beginning of that meeting from the city of Kingsburg, the city manager there, regarding the CAL FIRE and the mutual aid contracts and the fire transition agreements, which I'm sure, Jerry, you're probably really familiar with, regulating the property taxes for fire service when the land is annexed to the city that was previously county area, and so therefore taking over CAL FIRE's basically funding for their department. Quite a interesting discussion on that item that evening. And I know that our city manager is working on our plan for the upcoming year in making a contract with CAL FIRE, and that'll be an important working with the county to negotiate that. Also attended Sierra View Homes, had a Thanksgiving lunch and a nice group that played for them on the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Also had a lunch with Judy Case to just kind of go over what's happening in the county and with the transition to the new county board, the changes there. Also attended the Christmas tree lighting, and I think that Christmas tree is the biggest and the prettiest it's been in a long time. So I'm sure you all get an opportunity to look at down the street in the middle of the night. But take a look. They even straightened it so it wasn't the Leaning Tower of Pisa anymore. So to me, that's something really special. That's another thing that's unique to Reedley, is we have a live tree and a lot of people that put forth a big effort to make it beautiful and try to make Reedley special. So just kudos and thank you to Russ. I think your team helped to put that up and string up the lights, and so appreciate that. And just a reminder, the light parade is not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday. I think this early Thanksgiving has thrown many people off. I've had lots of phone calls about that. So, and I think it begins at 7:30. Is that correct?
There's before the event, and then at 7:30 it'll be dark enough for the parade.
The parade will be about 7:30. Yeah. Yeah. So plan to spend the evening down there, eat some dinner, and have fun, and then get to watch a pretty parade. So
can I ask a favor? Every year, if we could have a portable bathroom there, because when it starts there and it takes such a long time before it starts, everybody wants to go come to the shop and use my bathroom. Really. And next day I've got to be unplugging and whatever it is. So, you know, if the city or whoever is in charge can put a restroom out
they
there.
They have restrooms
out there.
Okay. They're just recessed and people choose to go in other people's doors. Mine's one.
And you can put that bathroom right on my parking lot.
Then you can't charge admission. $10 a pop. They do that in Mexico. You got to pay.
Okay. I think we'll go on to staff reports now.
All right. Thank you, Mayor, members of council. A couple of quick updates for you. One, I did want to also thank Russ, because his crew is not the crew that was responsible for putting up the tree, etc., But he did get a call when he was sitting at home to say, "Help, our tree is falling over," and he got up and out and went and helped. And so I just.
It was leaning.
It was just, it's a testament to the type of staff we have that members of the community know who they can call and get an instant response and instant help. It really is phenomenal. So thank you, Russ, and your crew for that. Want to remind the council that December 11th is our only council meeting in December, unless you would like to meet Christmas night, in which case I'm all for it, but I don't think your families would appreciate me. So we will go dark on Christmas. December 11th will be mainly ceremonial in nature. We will do the changeover of the council members and the installation of the new council member, the mayor, and the mayor pro tem. We'll have confirmation of those two, but because we have a resolution, we will not have a vote on the mayor or mayor pro tem. So that'll happen December 11th as well. And so that is Mr. Chavez's last council meeting. So we look forward to the speech on that.
I really seriously thought it was today.
Guess you got to clear that calendar.
You have another chance.
I told him to send her home.
Yeah.
Anyway,
in addition, very soon, and that is probably not the December meeting, but the meeting right after that one in January, we are going to plan a joint planning commission city council general plan update meeting, where we will be giving all of those parties that act as one general plan committee an update on where we are with the general plan, the status. And by that time, we should even have a draft in hand and ready to move forward. So sorry, Mr. Chavez, that we couldn't get that in before your last council meeting. Really trying hard for that one. But do plan on that very soon. We're very excited to bring that forward.
I won't come back for that one.
I believe it is scheduled for joint meeting for December the 11th.
Okay. I think we're going to push it back.
Okay.
Yeah. We also in January would like to do a refresher ethics Brown Act and council roles workshop to be put on by our illustrious Scott Crofts. I do think a refresher periodically is good, and because we will have a new council member on, so if it's the council's wish, I'd like to do that in January. As well, I wanted to let you know that in January, SB 1186, a little known law that passed very last minute, goes into effect. This adds a dollar to every business license in every city throughout the state. So I doubt you'll have many business owners upset about having to pay one extra dollar, but if you do have some that approach you as council members, this was a state law, SB 1186. The dollar goes, 70% stays with the city, 30% is sent to the state. The 70% has to be used to fund an accessibility specialist that helps businesses deal with ADA regulations. This is a little different than a building inspector and building, I see a business owner raising her eyebrows. This mainly has to do with all of those shenanigans that go on with lawyers who get settlements out of businesses without going through the court system for ADA. So if businesses are approached, they will now have an advocate, so to speak, on their side that they can go to and ask for assistance in rectifying whatever ADA standards are out of compliance, et cetera. The county's city managers met yesterday and discussed the possibility of pooling funds, because for all cities, this only equates to maybe $1,000 to $2,000. So pooling money to have an accessibility specialist that then is a floater amongst the various cities. I don't know that that's the route we're going to go down, but we're talking about the best way to leverage those funds. Mm-hmm. So again, if any of the business owners should approach you about the extra dollar, this is not a city tax. This is a state law that's gone into effect. The last thing I want to mention is today we did have a meet and confer with the State Department of Finance on some housing funds that they are denying. Even after three approvals, they came back and are wanting to take away about $750,000 in goes towards Reedley Family Housing and some housing overhead administrative allowance costs. This is note that we got late last week, and we had very little time to turn it around and have the meet and confer with them. We did have that today. It is very frustrating because Reedley Family Housing, there are multiple documents that have been signed, approved, recorded, and they're still questioning the enforceability of these documents. So we will find out by December 15th if we will be able to retain those funds. I have every belief that we will. This has just been a Chinese fire drill. It's been amazing. So just to let you know, the meet and confer did occur today via phone. Paul Malikian handled that expertly. And so I will let you know as soon as we get the results from the state on that. Mm. So are there any staff with any updates, please? Chief? Okay, thank you.
Well, it was sad to hear about former Councilman Chip Tegucci. Yes. Yeah. So we will be notified, Sylvia.
As soon as I get information on the funeral arrangements, I will.
Okay. Seeing there's no further business,